God has so much more for us. And let's don't ever get satisfied, amen, just nibbling the crumbs. When God has prepared a banquet for us, folks, in His presence, we can have as much of Jesus as we want. And if we come based on our own merits, then we're going to feel certainly unworthy and insufficient. We don't come based upon your performance and how good you are. You come like we all come the same way. Say, Lord, forgive me. If I've sinned, please forgive me. Cleanse me from all my sin. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for giving me access to your throne of grace right now. Thank you, Jesus, that when you died on that cross, you shed your blood. That temple veil was torn from top to bottom. And the way into the holiest has been opened up to us. We have an open heaven and open access to God Almighty through Jesus, the Son. And we can have as much of Him as we want. He has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The devil can't stop you and I from dining with Jesus. Right in the presence of our enemies, we can have a feast. Quit listening to that other voice. The accuser that points his finger at you. Beat you down when you blow it. Dust yourself off. Come back to Jesus. Amen. And say, God, here I am again. Fix me, Lord. I'm a mess. I can't fix me. I can't heal me. I can't save me, but you can. Amen. Restore me, Lord, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Yes. I want to have that heart that hungers and longs and thirsts for Him, that my life is totally infatuated with knowing Him and drawing near to Him and enjoying Him and experiencing His glory. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said in this prayer in John 17 that He wants to share the glory with us. God does. Yeah. Read it. And He gives us His Spirit and He gives us access. Hallelujah. You know, so often we're just like in the dry, barren place of a pitiful walk and pitiful life when God says there's a banquet waiting for you. What are you waiting for? What is it that has captured your mind, your attention, your focus? What has this world dished you up and offered you that would compare to the glory of the Lord? Is there anything in this world that can compare to Him? Is anything in this world worth it? Is it worth sacrificing what He has for you? Eternal glory. The world never satisfies. You eat, but you're not filled. You drink, but you're not satisfied. You clothe yourself, but you're not warm. And you make wages and you put them into a bag full of holes. It seems nothing seems to satisfy or last or complete or... Come on. God has given us access. Go for it. Amen. Don't be a lukewarm, dabbling Christian. Don't just get your toe in the water. Go for it, man. Go all in for Jesus. Immerse yourself in His presence. Let Him saturate your life with His glory. You have that option. It's open to you. Open your mouth and give praise to God. Amen? Open your mouth, He'll fill it. You begin to praise His name and call out to Him and open your life and say, Lord, I'm an open book. There are no secrets. You know me. You know me. I'm just going to lay down here at your feet and say, God, do what you got to do. But change me. Rearrange me. Plant my feet on solid ground again. Amen. I'm coming home. I'm coming back. Hallelujah. See, the devil wants you to think it's this big, long, drawn-out process. If you crawl on your knees long enough and you bleed and you abase yourself or you deny this and deny that, she's trying to make it into something you have to work for rather than something that you receive by faith. Righteousness is not something you can achieve. It's what you receive on the merits of what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross when he said it is finished. In the windows of heaven, hallelujah, are open. Access to the very throne of grace is open. We can now come into the Holy of Holies, hallelujah. Everything that we have need of is in him. He's the one that completes us. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't give in to the sin nature anymore. You won't want anything to do with it. When you're tasting of the goodness and the surpassing glory of God, hallelujah, you're walking in that place. And the devil tries to offer you that Snickers bar, you know, laced with arsenic. It looks so good at the time. You can say, no thanks, devil. I got something far better than that. I'm not buying into your lies. I'm not going the way of the world. Oh, yeah. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let's say that. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Again, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. You say that in your life, amen. When you feel the enemies beating up on you, let Yahweh, let Jesus, amen, arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. Arise, O Lord. Hallelujah. Scatter my enemies, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know that God wants to do that for you? Do you know that God wants to scatter all your enemies? That God wants to completely deliver you, set you free? I mean completely set you free. I mean completely heal us and restore us. Amen? He wants to do it. We got to let him. We just got to get saturated. Amen? Draw near. It's a truth war. It's what you believe. I believe this word. My opinion, it matters this much. Zero. Without me, he said, you can do. But we can do all things through Christ. Did Jesus really mean that? Okay, let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's walk in that place of abundance. Walk in that place of freedom. Walk in that place of victory. As we're walking with the victor. The greater one who is within us is greater than he who's in the world. Great big God. The devil can only have power in your life if you believe him for it. You hear that? I remember talking with a Cambodian refugee who was in the Vietnam War. And he said that some of the guys that were into the black magic, he said he literally at times the bullets would bounce off them like they were rubber. And he said, but it only happened to those who believed. So they even had to have faith in the devil. But how much greater is our God? I mean, there's no comparison. We're talking about the Creator and the created thing. Being, right, amen? How far greater is our God? Why should we worship below? And what? When we have God who we can worship above. Amen? I truly believe, folks, that greater is the one that's in me than he that's in the world. I am not afraid of the darkness. Who shall I fear if God be for me? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is the one who decides. He knows the number of my days. He decides when I go home and when I stay, amen, how long I stay. I'm not going to walk around in fear. It's not worth it. And you don't have to. God does not want his people fearful. God wants us to be liberated from that. Fear of man, fear of failure. Oh, we can go on. This morning, the message was about the importance of fellowship. And the title of the message was The Vision of God's Temple. The Vision of God's Church. In the Old Testament, the temple was made by the hands of men. You and I were crafted by the hand of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit today. We are the stones that make up His holy habitation. Each one of us in Christ is a stone that is fitly joined and knitted together in Christ. God has shaped and chiseled each one of us a certain way to fit into a certain place in the body of Christ. It's not good for us to be outside of fellowship because we have been created for fellowship. We have been created to be a part of God's building. And we are to be involved in God's building program. Every one of us here, if you're in Christ, we're designed to be a part of God's building program. Jesus said, if we are not gathering, then we will scatter abroad. We are to work together to build the kingdom of God as members of His temple. So we are a corporate temple. And that's why each stone needs to be in its place so that the entire building of God, if you will, is receiving the nourishment that each part supplies. It's an unstable situation when you don't have certain pieces in their place. Especially if you're one of those pieces, and please don't get me wrong here, I'm not here to browbeat anybody tonight. I just need to bring this because God told me to. But we need to understand our importance in the plan of God, in the body of Christ, because if you're not plugged in or if you're not in your assignment or in your place, then you're going to be an isolated block. And how many know that a stone that's just in a pile somewhere is useless? In order for us to be effective as a body, we have to be connected in the place that God appoints us and be builders with Him. We are to go out and to bring wood so that His house will be built. We read that from Haggai this morning, chapter 1. How God has called us to a body. You see, the people were saying, it's not time that the Lord's house should be built. In other words, one of these days, maybe we're supposed to do this or that. And they had this attitude of, it's not time. Not now, maybe later. And you know, I believe many of the people were just flat out discouraged. They had been under opposition. They had enemies that were opposing them as they tried to build, and they had begun to do the work of building God's temple. But something happened along the way where they lost hope or got discouraged, and they began to lay their tools down and their weapons down, and they just plain quit in the process somewhere of building the temple that God had called them to do. And it sat for 10 years. 10 years. Nothing, not a stone was moved. Everything just laid there in an unfinished condition. Now, God said to them in verse 4, he says, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." In verse 6 of Haggai chapter 1, he says, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." You understand that when we are preoccupied with our own selves, with our own agendas, with our own lives, with building our own kingdoms, and we are neglecting the kingdom of God, that's just the way life begins to become. It becomes vain. It becomes empty. Nothing satisfies you. Even if you have all the stuff, even if you have the money and the food and the clothing, it's all in vain. Nothing satisfies you in that. Why? Because the will of God is being neglected. When we understand what God has called us to and we commit ourselves to the work of building the kingdom of God, the temple of God, made of lively stones of human beings like you and I that God is calling together, God has got his eye on his church. That's the apple of his eye. You and I are his focus. God is looking at his bride. He's trying to make her ready, amen, for his coming, for Jesus Christ is coming. And we need to be about our Father's business, and we all need to be involved in building the kingdom. And that requires that we are in fellowship, that we are together in this, that each one of us is doing our part to see the kingdom of God built. Are you hearing me? If we're not building, then we're going to end up scattering. When people are living in the will of God, they are not contentious. They're not troublemakers. They're not in complaining mode. They're not in, you know, fault finding. They're focused on the will of God, and that is their passion. That is their desire, is to see the body of Christ built up, to be edified, to be made beautiful, to be prepared, because the coming of the bridegroom draws near. Jesus Christ is coming for a church that is pure and that is holy. And our responsibility as his people is to join together in the body, to get the vision, amen, of God, and to run with what God has called us to do. Run and work together to build the kingdom, to save the lost, amen, to heal the sick, to deliver the captives. God has called us all to the work. He says, "Why are you all running to your own paneled houses?" That which you probably, it could very possibly mean that they were using the very wood that was supposed to be for the building of the temple to build up their own palaces. They were building their own kingdoms, if you will, and they were neglecting the will of God. And therefore, everything that they set their hand to do, even when they had stuff and they had food and they had clothing and all these things that people are chasing after, nothing satisfied. Do you understand? That's the reality. Amen? Money cannot satisfy you. The true riches is the riches of the kingdom. And when you're about his business, according to Matthew 6:33, when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we seek the kingdom of God above everything else, then what? He said, "All these things I will add to you. I will take care of your needs." You don't have to worry about those things. He says, "Be about my business. Pay attention to what I've called you to do." And if you're busy about my business, about my will, if you're living for me and not for yourself, then I will take care of the things that you need in your life. And you're not going to be stressed out. You're not going to be worried about those things because you're going to be preoccupied with the will of God. We need to get about the business of God. Amen. We need to get a vision that God has called us. We're called the church. That means ecclesia, the called out ones. We've been called out of this world to be separate unto God, to be His own special people, a holy nation. Amen. To show forth the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We have been called to represent Jesus and to live for Jesus now in this present world, in this temporary life, because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We need to live for that which will be and understand the greater riches are the riches of the kingdom. Amen. Do you have an inheritance there? Or are we squandering it all on temporary life? That's what the people in Haggai's day were doing. They were all caught up in their own little world, doing their own little thing. And they completely had overlooked the fact that the building of God, the temple of God, was laying in ruins. Folks, I think in America we've got a problem across the board in the church that everybody's about running to their own little kingdoms, doing their own little thing, living from shopping to this to that, to getting everything here and now for temporary satisfaction, and they're neglecting the will and the purpose of God, which is of eternal value. And even though they may have all the stuff, all the bells and the whistles, and all the comforts of this life, they're not satisfied in any of it. And even the money that they seem to have, they can't seem to hold on to. Why? Because they're investing it in themselves and not in the kingdom. They're putting it to a bag full of holes. I mean, I know we're talking about your life here, my life here, to be invested, to be given over. Amen. If we are called out ones, that's what we're called, the church, called out ones. That means we're no longer our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. From now on, we are to live for His glory. Amen. And to see His kingdom come and will be done on earth. Folks, this is the Word of God tonight. This is what God is calling us to. He's calling us to turn away from our selfish ways, amen, and get about His business now. To lay it all down at the altar and say, Lord, You decide now. And you know what God is doing? He's allowing you and I to experience the dissatisfaction of the temporary things that we're trying to fill ourselves with. I'm included. God has to reveal to us that that stuff is not going to satisfy you. It's not going to fill you. It's not going to make you happy. The only thing that's going to satisfy you is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. The will of God for you is the bread that satisfies you. Jesus said, my bread, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Amen? To do God's will, that's what satisfies my life. That's what feeds me. That's what fills me. That's what brings true completeness. Is to do the will of my Father. Hallelujah. Everything else, if we're pursuing everything else but not the kingdom, then we're going to find out very quickly that those things, God's going to make sure of it, that you're going to find nothing but dissatisfaction. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? It will not satisfy you. If you are a child of God, if you have received Christ, if Christ is in you, if you've been called out, the only way you're going to find satisfaction is knowing that you're in the will of your Master, the Lord who purchased you with His blood for a reason, amen, an eternal purpose here on the earth, to live for the King. That's the life we're to live now. And all this other stuff, these vain pursuits of being distracted by the enemy, the enemy's constantly trying to scream at us and say, over here, that's where you're going to find your satisfaction. Go over here. Come on, light up that joint. That's where you're going to get satisfaction. You know, do this thing, do that thing. He's a liar. Come on. He's a liar. All the time He's robbing people by offering them cheap alternatives. Counterfeits. I was one of them for too many years. I found something greater. There is nothing that satisfies me more than the will of my God. to do the will of my Father. I'm complete in Him. I'm not complete in me. I'm only complete in Him. My life in Him is completeness. You know, we say, God, here's my life. Take my life. Take my heart. And then the next day we're taking it back again. He can't bless us if we don't give it to Him. He can't bless your life unless you've put Him first. You allow God to have you. Really allow God to have you on a daily basis. You're going to find satisfaction is in Him, truly in Him. And then even the things that God will bless you with because you have been faithful, amen, and you haven't sought after stuff, but you sought Him, even if you do end up with stuff, and you may or may not, I don't know, depends on what God decides for you. But even with that stuff, then you'll find a little more satisfaction in it. Why? Because you're in the will of God. But how many know the stuff that we have is only for the temporary use, right? It's only temporary. You know that. There's no U-Hauls going to heaven, right? We have an eternal inheritance in Christ. To live for Him is to truly live. Many times, folks, we're building our lives around ourselves without realizing it. We're not concerned about the things of God like we should be. And we're not prioritizing the building of the kingdom. Instead, we get preoccupied with our own building, dwelling in our own paneled homes, if you will. We need to consider our ways too. Am I building God's kingdom? Why do I even come here? Why do I come to church? We should ask ourselves, is this not the temple of God's Spirit? Amen? You know what I'm talking about. We're not talking about a building. Some people say, you don't have to go to church. No, it's not about the building. It is about the people, though. We are God's church. We are God's building. And so we need to be together. But why do we come? You know, I've discovered something, that when I used to come to church with an attitude of what can I get, what's in it for me, most of the time I left dissatisfied. Often I'd even leave empty. But when I came with the attitude of how can I be a blessing, God, make me a blessing to my brothers and sisters. How can I build you? How can I? Because if I build you, I'm benefiting it. Why? Because we're family. We're connected. We're part of the same temple. If we're building each other, we're both benefiting. Amen? If the church down the road is being edified, we're benefiting. Why? Because we're also connected to them in Christ. It's not about, amen, a geographic location. It's about the body of Christ. But it is about you and I coming together as the stones that God has cut from the quarry off-site. When they began to build Solomon's temple, they said no chisel, no tool was to touch the stone in the temple during the actual building. What they would do is they would quarry the stone outside the city and then bring the stone in and place them where they fit in the temple. What is that saying? God is in the process of chiseling. God is the one who shapes and molds, and then He will fit us where we belong. But we need to be responsible, amen, as individuals that are part of something bigger than ourselves. Hello? Amen? We are part of something much bigger than we are. And I'm an individual, and I have some gifts and some abilities, but so do you. And you are important, and we're all important in this working together for the same cause. That is the cause of Christ, the building of the kingdom of God. We need to be responsible before the Lord because His eye is on His church. When God gave Moses instruction on how to build the tabernacle of witness, the temporary temple, if you will, in the wilderness, that tabernacle was, I want you to hear this, it was in the center of the camp. And the tribes would surround the temple because it was the heart God had his eye there in that place. That was his dwelling place. Are you hearing me? And do you understand today you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And we need to also understand that the heart of God is for his church, for his people, that his church will be made ready, that she'll be holy, that she'll be made beautiful in preparation for the coming of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, who's coming to take us to be with him. Are we going to be ready in that day? Is the question. Will we go when Jesus comes? Will we be a bride, or are we going to be given ourselves to the world? Are we going to be a prostitute? Jesus said, I'm coming for a pure church. Amen? A holy bride. This church is going to be without spot or blemish. This church is going to make herself ready. She's going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. She's going to have a pure heart. And she's going to be a bride that is looking for the coming of the bridegroom. Those are the ones that Jesus is going to take with him in the rapture or the catching away. Are we ready to meet Jesus? Because if you do not come on the first trip, you don't want to be here for what is coming on the earth. Amen. We can see it happening. Quickly, the bridegroom is coming. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Get your eyes off this world. Divorce yourself from this world and get yourself connected to Jesus Christ, because he's coming for those who are ready. That's the word of God. The temple was the center of worship. Folks, what we're doing here tonight is the center. This is you and I coming together as a corporate gathering. This is what God's heart is on right here. As you and I coming together, loving one another, serving one another, building one another, amen, honing one another, using our different talents and gifts to benefit one another. That's why God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In Hebrews chapter 10. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. But what? The more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Do we not see the day of the Lord approaching? I know, folks, I make people mad when I talk this way. But folks, this is God's heart for us. This is God's plan, God's will. I have to check myself out. I have to judge myself. I have to say, God, am I right with you? God, am I ready? If you were to come tonight, if I were to die tonight, am I really ready to meet you? Hell is a real place. Don't play with fire, because it will burn you. We need to get ready. And while we're ready, folks, I'm saying getting ready means being together, praying together, serving together, building each other. Amen? Doing the work, going out and bringing the wood, gathering the wood, and bring the wood in so my house may be built, the Lord says. Bring the people. Invite people. Bring yourself. Folks, the enemy is good at discouragement. The enemy is good at just beating you down. You make a mistake, you just say, oh, just stay away. You know, Jesus and I were talking about something today. But in ancient times, and even today, in some places, when they gather the harvest and they gather the wheat together, they would bind the wheat together. And that which was not part of the gathering together, are you hearing this? Was given over to the animals, to the wild beasts, to devour. Do you understand that when you're not in fellowship, you are susceptible to the devourer? The enemy's tactic is to isolate the sheep from the fold, out from under the protective care of the shepherd. Folks, God has called us out of the world to be united with his family, with his church, to build his kingdom, to live for his purposes now. And if we're not doing that, then we will end up being a scatterer instead of a gatherer. In my years of ministry, I've discovered the people that cause the most trouble are usually the ones that aren't doing much for the kingdom. Or if they're doing much, they're doing it out of selfish ambition. They're doing it for selfish reasons. They're doing it to be seen. We need to remember the price that Jesus Christ paid for us at the cross. When He died that death for us, so that we could be redeemed, we could be purchased back and brought back into fellowship with Him and with one another. This is my commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. If you look and you study the gifts of the Spirit, you'll find out that they operate in the body of Christ. It has to be in a corporate situation most of the time. Amen? Where the gifts of God are going to be in operation, where you and I are going to receive the nourishment that each member supplies. It is vitally important that we quit listening to that voice of the adversary that is trying to draw you away, to seduce you away into other things that are vain and to destroy you, because you're no longer in the protection of the body. A healthy church is a church where you'll come to and you'll be built. Amen? You don't come in and everybody looks down their nose and judges you and there's a coldness. No. Where there's true love, there will be true concern for your soul. Amen? They'll love you enough to tell you the truth, but to love you is the question here. Are we loving? But a healthy church is a place where we can come in, and when we leave, we know that we've been nourished. We know that we've been strengthened. We know that we've had an encounter, amen, with the living God. And we have that here. And I said it this morning, I'm almost finished, but I said it this morning, folks, that hell is targeting us like never before. Amen? I mean, we're in the bullseye, and there's everything, the enemy is trying everything he can to keep you and I out of fellowship, to draw you away from the purposes of God, to seduce you into something that God has never called you to waste yourself, to occupy yourself with something that has no eternal value, because he's a thief. That's the devil. And many, many are going that way. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. And many go that way. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and there will be few who find it. I don't know about you, but I want to go with Jesus. I don't want to end up in that place. Amen. Come on, there's only one life, and that's Jesus. He is my life. Many people are deceived into thinking that, oh, well, I accepted Jesus as my Savior 20 years ago, and I ask them to come into my heart and I'm going to heaven, and then live like the devil. You're deceiving yourself. If you live that way, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. And there's scripture to back that up. Jesus said, repent. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your way, from your life, and follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. If you're not walking with Jesus, you're not going to make it. You need to follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? We need to divorce death and embrace life. We need to repent of our sin, and that means I'm done with it. The reason why a lot of people never get healed, they never get better, is because they refuse to repent. They're just trying to patch something that's dead up. They're trying to put a new patch on an old garment. You can't patch you up. You need to die to yourself, amen? You need to take on the new man in Christ Jesus. You need to live out of that new life that God called you to, amen? Forget the old life. It's useless. The old man is dead. We need to die to ourselves. Do you really want to experience life? Do you really want to experience the abundant life? How many here really want to experience the abundant life? That's why we're here, right? Okay, this is how you do it. Ready? Die to yourself. Die to yourself. And you'll live. That's it. If you think that's too great of a price, I'll tell you what, there's a worse price to pay for not doing that. I've never been disappointed when I've said yes to Jesus and no to myself. It's always equated life and abundantly when I've said yes to Jesus and no to my way. When I'm about my stuff, my business, my kingdom, I'm not satisfied. I'm never satisfied. But when I'm about my Father's business, and I'm in the process, amen, working with my brothers and sisters to build His kingdom, to advance His kingdom, to gather wood, to bring in the souls, amen, and to make disciples as Jesus gave commandment, I find satisfaction. I find completeness. I find that this is indeed why I have been called out of the world for the purposes of God in the earth. I find it a joy to serve the Lord. Do you? God put this message in my heart. Can you tell? And He's calling every one of us here in this room to recommit, to reconnect, to get refocused, recalibrated, if you will. Get back to our first love. Return to the Lord with our whole heart. Recommit everything back over to Him. Discover what His will is, and run that race. Go for it. Because one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ is going to last. We're going to be seeing Jesus very shortly, folks, very shortly. And I want to be found, amen, in the will of my Father in the day that I see Jesus Christ. I don't want to be caught watching something I shouldn't be watching. Doing something I shouldn't be doing. Amen? I don't want to be caught wasting myself on vain living. Folks, if we knew that Jesus was returning tonight at 8 o'clock, and we called an assembly, Jesus is coming at 8 o'clock, I wonder how much room we would have to spare in this building. You see, do we understand, do we really live in readiness and expectation? It's a good test, isn't it? If Jesus were to come tonight, I wonder how many people who didn't feel all that good today would just decide, I don't care how I'm feeling, I'm going to church. I'm going to connect with the body of Christ because Jesus is coming for His body. He's coming for His bride. Are you hearing me? It could be at midnight. It could be while you're in bed. We don't know. But He's coming. And Jesus said to watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all the things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Have we died to ourselves? When you die to yourself, you'll discover life. Fullness of life, a joy unspeakable, a perfect peace that passes all understanding. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. He's my life. He is my satisfaction. He is the true joy giver. We need to return. Amen, to the will and the work of God. God is calling all of His people to engage in the work of building His temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, made up of living stones. And you can't do it independent of Him. You cannot do it in your own strength, in your own wisdom. You must depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many here tonight are going to say, and really mean it, that, you know what? I heard the message tonight, and God has spoken to my heart. And I'm going to recommit myself. I'm going to make that decision, and I'm going to just go for it. I'm going to pull out all the stops. I'm going to flush all the stuff that I don't need to be doing and occupying and busying myself with. I'm going to simplify my life. I'm going to get my life in order with God's plan, God's purpose. I'm ready to recommit and do and go all the way with Jesus. How many here would just be honest and say, that's me. I want to do that. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah? Are we all in? And don't be afraid, because it's the best thing you can do. What you think you're going to lose, you'll never lose if you give it to God. If you try to save your soul, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for Him, you'll find it. If you give Him your life, give Him your soul. Commit it to Him. Say, Lord, this is it. I'm making that decision. I'm choosing to die to myself so I can live in You. I want Your life, Your abundant life. I want to know that in the end of my life, when I see You, You're going to be smiling, and I want to hear You say, well done, my good and faithful.